This is Health Unabashed, broadcasting live on Healthcare Now Radio, a conversational platform where healthcare meets innovation. We engage top industry talent and dive into the heart of health and wellness from vision to business model to bring you the latest developments in health tech to promising AI applications, policy, and ultimately impact on the public's health and well-being. I'm Greg Masters, co-host and executive producer, and I'm joined by the digital health aficionado himself, author, editor, global thought leader, and in his executive capacity, steward servant, Gil Bash. Together, we're on a mission to bring you the people, the ideas, and the companies that are not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. On today's menu, we are in the company of Ophir Shahaf, partner at Israeli-based VC firm eHealth Ventures, stewarding business development. So with no further delay, Gil, the mic is yours.
Greg, thank you so much for the gracious welcome. It's always thrilling for me to see you and also to look forward to being with you and all of our friends, our listeners at HIMSS in Orlando. It's just a few weeks away. Speaking of HIMSS and Orlando, I have a very special guest with us today. He's not only heading to HIMSS for this meeting, he's actually bringing a delegation of 10 portfolio companies to join him and members of eHealth Ventures. It's one of Israel's notable, really, incubators and private equity firms, really focusing on the whole field of digital health technologies, health information, and even how the concept of digital wearables that are connected can play a significant role in the improvement of people's lives. So, Greg, we've got a great guest here. His name is Ophir Shahaf. And Ophir, thank you for joining us. I know we're on a very different time schedule for you today, and it's great for you to join us so late at night. I have a sense of what goes into your job, having been with a private equity firm before, and knowing the amount of due diligence that's involved. But before you got involved with eHealth Ventures, you were involved in quite a few of Israel's what I'll call sort of incubator hubs, tech transfer organizations. You were really also involved in where ideas generate and then blossom into startup enterprises. Tell us a little bit about that background period, and I'm curious how that applies now to your work with eHealth Ventures.
Okay, thanks, Gil. Thanks, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'll say a few words about my background. I started as one of the founders of Klal Biotech, which was a major institutional investor in Israeli life sciences. This was the early 2000s, and we really were breaking new ground in making investments in advanced drug development and medical device companies. From there, I switched to the tech transfer arm of Hadassah Hospital, which is one of Israel's leading medical centers. And me and my team were really on the cutting edge of innovation in health tech. We were there to take the IP, the inventions, the developments coming out of this super bright group of MDs and scientists and really taking them out into the industry, raising money for them, taking them through clinical validation and all the way into real products aimed at real markets. So having this background of technology transfer put me in a great position where I knew the sources of innovation in Israel. It's easy to say Israel is a hotbed of innovation, but you need to know where to look for the best and brightest entrepreneurs. And that's what I'm doing for eHealth Ventures.
You know, that's amazing to have that sort of like in the trenches background. I'd be curious, now you and your colleagues have made a very big decision as part of the HIMSS, you know, one of the people who was really on the program committee. I'm privileged to be a HIMSS host. I know a lot of decision goes into having a private equity, an incubator, host, sponsor, a delegation. And I also know that eHealth Ventures has quite a portfolio of innovation companies. You chose 10 companies to accompany you and one of your other partners. Tell us a little bit about how you made the choice and a little bit about some of those companies.
Happy to do that. Just before we dig into the companies, it's really important for me to say that we are a VC first and foremost. It's a platform for digital health investments. That's the only sector we're focused in. No medical device, no drug development. It's all digital health tech. Been doing this for 7 years. We have a large portfolio. We manage roughly 70 million, but for the past 2 years in a row, we were ranked as one of the top three most active investors in Israeli life sciences, meaning that we punch well above our weight. I mean, we are compared to funds that manage well north of $1 billion. So after building this portfolio, it was clear to us that adding value is not just showing up at board meetings, but actually getting these companies in front of the relevant stakeholders. That could be sites for clinical studies, that could be customers for your product, that could be investors, obviously. So we tried to select a group of 10 companies that have a strong story to tell, that have a product that needs to meet the customer, that has to match product to market. There's a famous term called product market fit. You cannot develop a product in Tel Aviv and say it fits the market before you meet the Kaisers and the Hartfords and the Northwells of the world. So we're picking 10 companies. Some of them are early stage. They're just in early R&D. Some already are selling and have a product which is well entrenched in the market. And I could pick a few examples. Let's talk about Qlog, which already has considerable sales in the US and in Europe. They have an application with very sophisticated but lightweight software that manages the entire back office of every large clinic or hospital, from the level of maintenance from your resuscitation cart all the way to risk management for top decision makers. And it's doing a world of good for these healthcare providers. Let's talk about Agamon, which can completely automate the full follow-up process for any imaging clinic. If somebody gets recommendation to come back every 6 months for a CT to monitor a tumor, God forbid, a lot of people blow this off. And here we have a tool that completely automates this through large language models and a lot of AI in the background. Hospitals are happy. It drives patient care, it reduces readmissions, and it also drives revenue. We could talk about Aculine Medical, which has software that could take your standard ECG, technology that has been around for 40 years, more or less, and with a lot of algorithmic sophistication, add a lot of insight to your cardiologist so that this diagnostic exam just does not take a snapshot of where you are right now, but really turns itself into a predictive tool telling you that, God forbid, you could be expecting an adverse cardiological event pretty soon. So stuff like that.
You know, I'm thrilled that you said that. I had the privilege of presenting at a conference where, you know, good friends I highly recommended to you, called HIT Labs, which is out of Columbia University. And I was asked to present the data from Galen Growth. Galen Growth is a global market research firm that focuses on the digital health sector. And often, and you are aligned with me, thank you for that. You don't know what I'm going to say yet, but thank you. Often people look at digital health and they think about your smartphone and apps and the basics. You know, they think digital and they think social media, or they think social listening. And you've been talking about something that I think is mission critical, which is using information to make the system more effective, efficient, so that more things can happen for patients sooner and faster. And I often think that's sort of cut out of the equation or the thinking process. When we think of digital, we tend to think of, as I said, applications, apps. I've got an app for this. I've got an app for that. You know, this is a calendar. This will remind you. But you're really talking about creating a extension of the system, amplifying or augmenting the actual system, whether it be the office or the health provider system, hospital system, so that we can make decisions that have much more background to them. Even following up with a patient and just reminding us that we've got to get that patient in. They've had, you know, as you mentioned, potentially, heaven forbid, a cancer. And we want to make sure that they're getting their every 6-month scan at this point during the first 5-year period, all of that. I want to get your perspective because I think when people hear digital, there's a built-in bias against, at this point, leaning into the sector. But you have very good clarity about digital is ubiquitous now to the health system. Everything is being digitized. As a friend of mine once says, if it moves, digitize it. So could you talk a little bit about your VC's philosophy around an expansive view about the word digital? It is on your website, by the way. You're very clear that you're digital first, but clearly you're expanding the definition of digital. Tell us a little more about that.
I'll follow up on how you started. This plethora of apps that we see out there, the Garmins and Fitbits and Apples of the world, these are fantastic, powerful tools pushed to us by these amazing sales and marketing machines, but they are not really medical. They will improve health. They will improve lifestyle, but not all of them. Most of them actually did not go through a full clinical validation process, meaning the R&D, meaning the FDA approval. Some have, but most of them have not. And we are looking for the actual, I would say, drug-like or device-like products and technologies, but those that have a strong digital base to them, meaning they will require validation and FDA or CE or any other regulatory body approval. It's a long way to get there, but once they do reach the market, their clinical benefit will be much more measurable. They will be much more effective, and subsequently, they will charge a much higher margin for their service or product than any other app you could hope to download. So it's a longer way to get there, but the benefit is different. Within that world, we try to expand the definition of digital. It could be diagnostic. It could be screening or monitoring to detect a disease at an earlier stage. And it could be therapeutic. We have invested in companies that have developed games that actually bring down the level of pain receptors in your brain by neuromodulation, meaning that if you suffer from chronic pain, you will not need to take all those devastating opioids, but you will play a game on your phone, and that will make your brain less responsive to the pain signals. So we've talked about diagnostics, we've talked about therapeutics, and there's a whole other segment which is really catered towards the providers, like the examples I gave you before. These huge entities are under massive pressure of cost cutting, of evidence-based medicine, of readmission sanctions, and they have to use this technology to become more effective and more profitable. Obviously, the patients benefit as well, but health economics is something that we have to think about all the time. There simply are not enough beds. There are not enough physicians out there for all of us who plan to live a long and healthy life. So technology will bridge the gap between the disparity of physicians and the needs of a growing population.
No, I wanted to return to something you said, because you're putting appropriately into pillars the different types of digital innovations that you're supporting and the types of companies that will be joining you at HIMSS 2024. You talked initially about, I'll call them, health information enterprises that deal with the efficiency, effectiveness, the cost realization of the health system, whether it be doctor scheduling or patient scheduling, or even bringing in information that clinicians need to sort of sort through quickly in order to make better clinical decisions. That's one batch. And then just recently, you just talked about clinical care, looking at neuromodulation to affect the amygdala, and you know how we, in a way, retrain portions of our brain to experience different sensations at different times. Could you talk a little bit about those? Because I think the first batch, I'm not certain, I don't know if the health information companies, and you know best, really, do they need a 510K approval? Are they just really software, health software companies related to the health system? This next batch, that you were talking about actually have a influence on therapeutic outcomes and therefore have to go through therapeutic validation. And then you may have another batch of companies actually that look at it this way. It sounds like the VC that you're leading has a expansive view of digital. You see it information, you see it as patient application. Perhaps you also see it as enhancement of existing technologies or therapeutics that are helping patients. Tell us a little bit about the sort of the other companies that are coming. You mentioned five. There's another five. I'd love to hear about those too.
Just dropping in, you're right on time for Health Unabashed on Healthcare Now Radio. Today we're chatting with Ophir Shahaf, a partner at eHealth Ventures, stewarding business development. Stay tuned for the rest of the story.
So I could mention a company by the name of NimBio, which has a non-invasive sensor placed on your finger, and through reading non-invasively elements or biomarkers within your blood flow, they could predict flare-ups or breakouts of autoimmune diseases of the gut, like lupus or like IBD. Again, causing less hospitalization, changes in medication. It's a very important decision support tool for physicians. Another company does similar work on pulmonary diseases like asthma, like COPD. They have a chest, which is on your lung area, and measuring movement and other biomarkers within the lungs can also predict flare-ups before they occur. Another company does the same for migraines. Imagine an app on your phone telling you that you are going to be slammed by a massive migraine within the next 12 hours. Stay at home. Don't go crazy at work. Stay in a dark, quiet room and imagine all the pain and suffering something like this could reduce. So having all this data out there, we're all getting digitized. All of our providers are measuring every output of our body, cradle to grave, or from lust to dust, as we like to say. Somebody needs to analyze all this data and really mine out some actionable items for the physician. Hopefully, at some point, the physician will be out of the picture, and this will be a B2C product. But I don't think we're there yet. I think we still trust our physicians, as we should. We're just giving them more technological tools that are digitally based. They're personalized. They're productive. They're priced right. Not a lot of people involved. These software elements will not get tired. They won't stay at home because they're tired or angry. We're kind of creating these digital assistants to our healthcare system.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, the United States spends about, at this juncture, about 20% of its GDP on health. It's a bit higher than it was pre-COVID. I think where your market is spending about 7% of GDP on health, and your population lives 10 years longer than the U.S. population on average. I do know that your market is highly digitized. Electronic medical records work well in your market. Of course, you have far fewer insurance players. People don't move from insurance company to insurance company every 3 to 5 years. And then parents, grandparents, parents, and children often are members of the same health insurance company. So you're actually able to look at longitudinal data and even look at it genetically to start to develop predictive modeling tools to keep people healthier. You know, the United States is such a fragmented, chaotic system. People suffer for it. No, nobody is responsible for patients, and that's an exaggeration. Doctors own a piece of you. They don't own all of you. You know, if the orthopedist, they just own your shoulder, and if you're the gastroenterologist, they either own your lower colon. Some just say, I don't do lower colon. I just do upper colon. I mean, we've got.
You should call my friend down the road. Yeah.
Yeah. It's become so fragmented. From a VC standpoint, in helping your portfolio companies, you and your partners obviously have a great deal of experience dealing with or bumping into the U.S. fragmented health ecosystem. I'd be curious, you know, you've chosen 10 companies, obviously because you think they're promising. I mean, you're encouraging them to come along with you to HIMSS. And so you've had to choose, as someone who's really responsible for a good deal of eHealth Ventures deal flow and portfolio, you've had to choose wisely, and you continue to choose wisely. I'd be curious, are these companies, do you feel that based on your experience, which is pretty vast, do you feel that they match, are they harmonious with the U.S. regulatory system and the economic system? Tell us a little bit about the decision-making power here.
I'm really happy about this question, because it forces me to give credit to some of our partners in the fund and some of our close collaborators. As we started by saying, Israel really is one of the leading sources of health tech innovation. It's a hotbed, it's a sandbox, but in terms of a potential market, it's pretty tiny. So from the get-go, we knew that we had to have some powerful partners on board. Maccabi, Israel's largest HMO, is one of our key partners. But next to them, I could mention Amgen, I could mention the Mayo Clinic, I could mention the Cleveland Clinic. So we have a bunch of sounding board partners that are in touch with us on a very, very high level. So we can consult when we see new technologies. They tell us about the real market need. And sometimes they just shoot it down and say, listen, this will never fly because the physicians here work differently. And really, there's no point. You should look at the European market or the Asian market, or just scratch this company. And we take this into consideration very much. So before we're planning this travel, this delegation to HIMSS, we did a lot of consulting with our friends. As a matter of fact, right after HIMSS, we're driving up to Jacksonville, where Mayo Clinic has its innovation exchange, and we will be meeting a lot of their clinicians and some of their innovation experts to learn more from them about this elusive product market fit that we're trying to achieve with some of these companies.
That's fantastic. You know, in the thinking process with these 10 companies, obviously they're going to be out at HIMSS meeting people, networking, speaking to a lot of the colleagues you just mentioned. And I think a lot of our listeners who are part of this big health ecosystem will be interested in making some of those connections as well. It sounds like you and your colleagues attending HIMSS are eager to share ideas with the industry at large. How will they reach you at HIMSS? How can our listeners sort of make that connection?
So I would be happy. We have a full dance card, but we are planning back-to-back meetings to share our views, to share more information about our fund, and obviously about the portfolio companies. We're also seeking investment opportunities in the U.S. We are by no means limited to Israeli companies, and we have invested in foreign companies already. My email address is the best way. I'm accessible 24/7, and it's pretty easy to remember. It's Ophir, O-P-H-I-R, at EHV, stands for eHealth Ventures, .health. That's an easy suffix. So it's Ophir at EHV.health. Just shoot me a mail, and we'll be happy to set it up.
That's thrilling. Thank you for that, by the way. And, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but when you look at your successes, I imagine a lot of your past portfolio companies have exited the fund and have been acquired. Would you, if so, could you share one or two of the big successes that you and your colleagues celebrate?
So we had success with a company by the name of EFA, stands for Engineering for All. They have developed a device roughly the size of a phone, which could analyze a drop of blood. You prick yourself, you put the slide in. I'm always wary of the story because some of my American counterparts always think of another company that did something similar and ended in a long court story, but let's not go there.
We've talked about that on this show. Yep.
Yeah. So these guys do it, but without the fraud. It actually works. They're selling in some major markets in Brazil and the Philippines. They're selling very nicely in Israel. I cannot say we have exited and counted the cash yet, but we're very, very optimistic as they're answering a very, very important need in the market. Same goes for two of the other companies I just mentioned before. QLog and Agamon are expanding sales rapidly, And I think that within 12 to 18 months, we will see a major liquidity event over there.
Well, thank you for that predictive model. Obviously, it's going to get people really looking at the crystal ball and using your email address when people see that happening. I want to thank you. You know, people forget that you're from a market where ideas developed, owned, and offered change the health of the world. And many of the technologies we're using today, I had the privilege of having on the program Yael Alish, a name you may or may not know, but she developed a small company and exited called Waze, which is now part of Google. And she's busy developing another company now in the health space. And so, Ophir, I think that we're looking forward to seeing you at HIMSS. Both Greg and I will be there broadcasting on Healthcare Now Radio, and we look forward to seeing you in the portfolio there. Thank you for joining us today on the show.
My pleasure. It was great. Thank you, Gil. Thank you, Greg.
And that, dear listeners, is the last note for today's broadcast. A huge thank you to our worldwide listeners for tuning in, and a tip of the hat to our special guest, Ophir Shahaf, partner at eHealth Ventures, stewarding business development. Do follow their work on the web at www.ehv.health. Health Unabashed streams live 3 times a day on Healthcare Now Radio, Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and 2:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 11:30 p.m. Pacific. Stay social with Gil and me on Twitter via @Gil_Bash, and that is B-A-S-H-E. And Greg Masters MPH, and that's Greg with 2 G's. And don't forget to give your tweet some zing with our hashtag, Health Unabashed. Until we meet again, pursue your passion for better health with no apologies.